Hello? Hello?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to tonight's conference call. We're a little bit early. If you're already here, we're going to just wait a few more minutes. We're expecting Lisa to join us, and Sophia, and then Deanne, our guest tonight. So if you're here, just hang tight, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Lisa.
You're so quiet. I didn't know what was going on.
Lisa, there you are. Chris, I'm here.
Yay.
Hi, everyone. This is Gigi.
Hello, this
Hi,
is Sophia.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
Hello,
Hi,
everyone.
Hi, Sophia.
Hello, it's Warnicki.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Warnicki.
Hi, Warnicki.
Hi, Warnicki.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
My name is Shaw.
Hi, Shaw.
Hi, Shaw.
Hi, Shaw.
Hi, this is Silvana.
This is fun hearing everyone's voice.
Hi, it's Angela.
Hello, welcome. Do we have any first-time callers tonight?
I'm a first-time caller.
This is Deanne.
Nice, okay.
Yes.
Hi, Deanne, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
This is Chris. Good, good, thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Welcome, Deanne.
I'm a first-time caller. This is Ryan.
Hi, Lisa, thank you.
Hello, this is Lee.
Hey, Ryan.
Hi, yes. Lee. Hi, Ryan.
How are you, Chris?
Good,
I'm a first-time caller. Go ahead.
Welcome. Welcome, first-time caller.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's so much love and excitement in the air.
Yeah.
Well, God is always on the move, and he's with us tonight, as always. But
yes, he is.
Tonight.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
This is
so
amazing. There's so many new people.
We've been having almost about 25 to 30 people on the call, so we've been
trying to break that 40 threshold, the more the merrier, and we just want God's word to get out and just be an encouragement to others. So I'm going to start off like we always do, and then, Chris, I'll let you do the opening prayer, and then we're going to give it over to Deanne tonight because we want her to have as much time as possible, and we also want to be respectful of everybody's time on the call. So we try not to go past an hour, and so like I said, we do have people on the East Coast. And with that said, just want to say welcome, everyone, to tonight's Standing on Scripture, SOS, conference call. We are a remnant of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, and we got started a couple of months ago, I guess, at this point. Seems like just yesterday, but seems like a couple of months ago we started, mainly because there was so much cry on the call, on the RMM share prayer wall. Individuals just seeming like they were just going through the journey by themselves. And God pressed upon my heart. I reached out to Chris and Sophia, and they gladly joined in so that we could bring to you a forum, a place where you could come and put your prayer requests. We've heard some awesome testimonies. We've shared the word of God. Chris is like a little pastor. So we've gotten some really good feedback, and I just feel this is definitely part of God's plan for the journey that we are on. And keeping in mind that our first goal is always to reconcile with God and for salvation for our standing spouses and children. And then, you know, the marriage restoration is a second goodie. So that's like ice cream. with that said, just keep in mind for a general announcement, and I know Chris will make it again, we are recording the session tonight. You do not have to give your name, or if you do give a name, please try to only give your first name. And we always try to respect our spouses and not give their name at all. So unless you feel so to do that, just keep in mind we are recording, so we want to try to respect people's privacy as much as possible. Okay, Chris, I'll give it over to you. Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to add a few more housekeeping issues here real quick. if I could ask everyone to put themselves on mute, if later on when we do a Q&A, if you could just remember unmute yourself so we can hear you. But during the phone call, during the testimonial, we would ask that you keep yourself on mute because we do pick up the recording, and the feedback does come through, and everyone hears it. You know, a drip in the background will hear it. So that, and I think there was, I don't know if there was anything else. I think that was it. We do post, one more thing. We do post, we record these because what we do is we post them on the Praise Reports .org website, and because we post it there, that's how we want to keep it, you know, kind of a neutral, safe area where other people can listen to it, but then again, keep yourself and your spouse safe by mentioning only first names. So that's the reason why we do that, because what we've noticed is after we post the recording, we'll get another 20, 30 people who, were for whatever reason, were not able to make the phone call. They'll go on there and they'll listen to it, you know, several days later. So we'll have, you know, upward of 40, 50 people combined between the live conference call and the recording after listening in. So that's why we want to do that. We're fortunate to be here at this time and be able to participate. Others, for whatever schedule reasons, are not able to. And that's why we want to bless them with posting the recording. So having said all that, I will go ahead and open up with prayer, and then I'll give it back to you, Lisa. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning or this evening. We want to thank you, Father, for making this possible. We want to thank you for bringing Deanne, our guest, on with us tonight to give share her testimonial of what you have done, Father. And her testimonial is one of hundreds of thousands of testimonials of restored marriages. And I think it would be safe to say, Father, that you have restored marriages all the way back throughout time, all the way back even in Abraham's day, Moses' day, when he was allowing divorce incorrectly, but he was. Even then, I'm sure, Father, you were restoring marriages back then, because you were the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your word doesn't change, and your word is eternal. And so, Father, we want to thank you for that, because when we come to the realization that your word is eternal and that you never change, that gives us the absolute foundation and the rock to stand on. Our spouses may do some crazy things, may be led astray by our enemy. We at times ourselves can be led astray by the enemy to say and do the wrong things. And we have, some of us, I'm sure we have. But Father, we could always turn to you knowing that you are consistent day in and day out. And we thank you for that, because as we hear tonight's testimony of what you have done in another marriage that we're going to hear from about tonight, Father, you're behind it. You're the architect, you're the designer, you're the handler, you're the one who gives us the will and desire to do. You're the one who touches the hearts and turns the hearts as the channels of rivers and directs them wherever you want. And regardless of what we plan and what we decide and what our spouses plan and decide, you, Father, at the end of the day, always direct our steps and our spouse's steps. So, Father, let tonight's testimony not only touch us, but let it be a prophetic word to all of us, not only us here that are listening to this testimonial live, but to those who will listen to this recording after we post it, that they also might be blessed. And let this testimony be a prophetic word in their lives and in their marriages, that what you've done for Deanne and her marriage, you will do for us. You will do for us. It's not a maybe. It's not a just wishful thinking. It's an absolute, because you give us those absolutes. So we thank you for that, Father. I pray that all of our hearts would be opened and tuned into the Holy Spirit ministering to each of our hearts, the different messages that we each need to hear that resonates with our hearts and our circumstance, and that you would speak through Deanne and let her testimony touch our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I don't have anything else to add. We did ask Deanne that individuals would take some time and listen to your recordings. And everybody, please know she's coming on tonight to share her personal testimony. There will be a Q&A session at the end. And also, Deanne, we're asking that you will pray your testimony and pray over those on the call tonight before you close. Many of us have had the blessing to get a personal prayer from you. So I'm going to just go ahead and give it over to you at this time. They don't want to hear me. They want to hear you. So God bless
okay.
you.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank you, Lisa and Sophia, and Chris, for inviting me on, and I'm just thrilled to be able to be a vessel for God to flow through tonight. And he knows me. He knows that I don't want to be heard. I want him to be revealed and be known and lifted up through me, because we know that he must be at the center of our lives. And when he's not at the center of our lives, that's when things go astray. That's when the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. So those of you that did hear my two-part podcast testimony, I won't go over all of that again, of course, but we married very young. Actually, let me just be totally honest and vulnerable. I got pregnant. We had been going out a couple of years. I got pregnant. We got married, and right away we bought a house. We had our daughter in the next couple months, and we both worked, and it was just a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And we had a lot of differences in our lives with upbringing. I was raised in the church early, but then my family fell away from church. His family wasn't really churched at all. So that's why we were living the kind of life we were living as I got pregnant. So just, you know, trying to start a family. We had two kids, trying to get connected to a church. We never really surrendered and connected to the church. So that right there is a recipe for disaster. Because we know that Jesus must be at the center, and we must know the truth that set us free. So as we, you know, struggled, and Chris, I know you had asked me to share a little bit more about this, like what was going on in my, what spiritual battle was going on in my mind prior to leaving my husband. I knew we needed help, and I didn't want to continue living the way we lived. I came out of a divorced family. I came out of a household where my parents fought. His parents fought, even though they never got divorced. They stayed together, but they fought a lot too. And I didn't want that. My daughter would say, Mommy, why does Daddy make you cry? And I didn't want my daughter to be raised around that. And I would, you know, ask him, let's go to counseling, you know, let's get some help. And he was not open to that at all. And, you know, we just kept doing the life just the day in, day out. But it was not blessed. It was not Christ-centered. We didn't know the Word of God. Neither one of us really knew the Word of God. So as far as the spiritual battle that was going on in my mind, it was just, I wanted peace. I wanted love. I wanted acceptance. I was a bank manager at the time, and I would go, you know, go to work and manage 18, 20 people and come home and feel like my opinion wasn't respected and you know, wasn't desired. He came out of a household where the man was basically in control. And my parents went through divorce, and I watched my mom struggle as a single mom, where she had to be independent and strong and make the decisions and run the household. And, you know, vows and judgments are very, very, they're not of the Lord. Vows and judgments are from the kingdom of darkness. And my sisters and I all said, we'll never rely on a man. We'll never let a man control us. You know, we're going to be independent. And those vows and judgments that you don't even realize when you're saying those things, it opens the door for the enemy to come in. So the enemy came in like a flood to my marriage. So as we didn't go to counseling, my husband decided to move out. And I was like, at that point, I didn't beg, I didn't cry, I didn't say stay. I was like, okay, go. I didn't want to fight anymore. The truth being, though, is that the enemy started coming in through a client at my bank, customer, that we started sitting. And this is normally how it happens. Until about 2 years ago, I didn't even realize that I was the prodigal because I blamed everything on my husband. But what happened was there was a client at work, and he, you know, we just started sitting and having conversations, and we started connecting, and I started feeling like, you know, drawn to him and attracted to him. And that's why I didn't care what my husband did, because I was done. So that's where the enemy hardens the heart of the prodigal. So you precious ones on this call, you can understand the heart of your husband or the heart of your wife. When the enemy hardens the heart, that person is taken captive, and that person is not themselves. They're not thinking logically. They're not feeling the right thing. They're not thinking about their spouse, their children. They're not thinking about their marriage. They're not thinking about any of that. Prodigals become very, very self-centered, and it's all about me, all about me. And poor me and what I deserve and what I want and what, you know, and that's what they focus. It's just totally self-focused. So that's where I started focusing on self. And then when my husband realized that I wasn't the same person, he's like, what's going on? And, you know, he was connected to people at work too and going out. So we both were just not doing the right thing. So as he left the house, I started seeing the other person. And then he wanted to come back, and we tried to go to counseling a couple times, and it just wasn't working because my heart was not right. And my husband begged me at that point to go to counseling. He told me he loved me, which he never really did before, just wasn't verbal. And I was just, my heart was just like, no, I'm done. I'm done. So we sold the house. We split. I went on to have an adulterous relationship with this other man. My kids didn't like him. My fam, you know, just, it was just, it's so wicked. It's so evil. It's so perverse. It's so deceptive. And when I was awakened by the Lord about 2 years later, that's when I was like, oh my God, how could I have done this to my family, to my marriage, to my children? You know, what have I done? And I just wept for hours. And that is what we pray for the prodigal. And I know because I've been there. So when I pray with others, when I pray with some of you, when I pray with people around the world, we pray for the prodigals to be awakened, because they are not in control. They are not in control of themselves. They are not. They are totally
enslaved by darkness, enslaved by the pleasures of this world, by those strongholds that the enemy puts in their minds. I mean, when my husband and I married young because of how things happened, and when we split up, I was like, oh, I want to go back to college, and I want to take a dance class, and I want to do all these things that I didn't get to do. This is about me, and I deserve this. And I was never a selfish person growing up and in my marriage, never, never. So that was totally out of character for me, which you will find that in your spouse. Your wayward spouse. They're out of character for who they were when you met them and who you fell in love with. And this is where we have to see them through the eyes of God. Let me fast forward. So as things were not going well with this person and I, we were doing lots of fun things in the world, and the kids would go with their dad, and I would have my time with him, and then, you know, the kids are back and forth. The precious children that are caught in the middle of these messes between mom and dad. And, you know, they see everything going on. And that's why a lot of kids have issues as they grow up and as things are extended on, because they were exposed to all of that. And, again, the prodigals aren't thinking about that. Parents aren't thinking about that for the children. So as we went on, you know, the Holy Spirit, and I know there were people praying for me. I know my sister-in-laws were praying for me. And my family wasn't really praying for me. They tried to, and again, this is where the people, your in-laws, okay, your spouse's family, they're going to side most of the time with their blood, okay, their blood, their family. And my family basically condoned, they agreed with me dating this other person. My husband and I had divorced at that point, and they participated, and they you know, befriended him, and he would come to family functions, and that hurt my husband very, very bad. That how you just kind of erased me from your life, and who am I? I'm nobody. I was your husband, the father of our children, and now I'm nobody. You act like I never existed, like I'm nothing. You have no love. You have no feeling. You're like cold as ice. And I have no answer for that other than that's Satan. So as the person, people were praying for me, not my own family, but my sister-in-laws, I know they were praying, and I would be with this other person, and the Holy Spirit would put in my innermost being, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. You're not supposed to be here. And I would have that miserable feeling, sick feeling in my gut. And we know that, you know, we've heard that many times, that when the prodigal is awakened and they come to their senses, they give testimony and they'll share, I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't know how to get out. I didn't know what to do. And that's how I felt. Well, I can never go back. How can I go back? How could I ever go backwards to my spouse who hates me now and embarrassment and all the decisions I made? How can I ever? And it's a pride. It's a pride thing. And it's also a guilt and shame thing, and that's why we pray against the mountains that the enemy erects and builds up in our spouse's life, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, unworthiness, regrets, and all of that lies that you can never, never make it right. You can never go back. So I ended up one day sitting on my bed in my bedroom. I was sitting on the edge of the bed and just thinking. I wasn't awakened at that point, but I was thinking, I don't want to do this thing called life anymore, because things weren't working out with the new person. We always think things are greener on the other side. And my husband was with another woman, dating her, and I would hear all the fun things he was doing in life. And I was struggling financially, and things were not going well for me. And I just said, okay, I don't want to do this thing called life anymore, and how can I just end it all? And I started contemplating suicide. So at that point, I cried out to the Lord, and I just said, God, help me. I love my children. I don't want to leave my children without a mom. And that's when I started seeking the Lord. And I found the church. God supernaturally connected me to the church, and I knew that's where I needed to be. I wept. I cried, and I knew I had to continue to seek the Lord, because that's what was missing. I knew the Lord. I grew up with the Lord. I had the Holy Spirit living inside of me. But I pushed that all aside to do what I wanted to do. I was making my own plans, and I was doing my own will. So as I, you know, connected to the church, my kids and I started praying for their dad, for him to get saved, for him, you know, to
to be changed, really to be saved. Just, that's what we prayed for. We prayed for his salvation. And fast forward, there were people in my life telling me, and I wasn't standing at that point. I was not standing for my husband. I did not want to be with my husband. I didn't want to deal with his personality, with, you know, certain addictions, certain behaviors. I did not want to go back to that place. I didn't know that God could change people. I didn't know that things could be different, that things could be good. So I was just praying for him to get saved, you know, just praying for him as the father of my children. I was loving him like a brother when I would see him when we dropped kids off. But at the point that my pastor was saying to me, I think God's wanting you back with your husband. I'm like, no, God's not telling me that. And then somebody that I worked with, a director at one of the pregnancy centers I worked for, and I said, no, God's not telling me that. So I was trying to seek out another partner. I was trying to seek, and this may sound familiar, what your spouses are doing. I was trying to seek other people, and nothing worked because I was surrendered to God. I was seeking the Lord with all my heart. I did not trust man. I didn't want to be hurt again. I didn't know how to make right what was wrong. But right after I started going to the church, I was sitting on the floor going through some pictures to divide them up. This was like 2 years after we divorced. And that's when that aha moment came to me as to, oh, my God, what have I done? And it was a repentance before the Lord, and it was a knowing that I had to get right with God and seek God. But I still did not want to be with my husband. So as I'm in the church and things are going forward, I'm getting involved in the church. I'm starting to participate in prayer, lead prayer, starting to teach. Like, the Lord is just taking me forward because I was so hungry and so thirsty for him. So I was a renewed Christian. I was on fire for the Lord, and I was hungry for the Word. And that's where God had to bring me to open my heart to receive my husband again. Now, my husband was not pursuing me either. Like I say, he was having fun in the world. He was with another woman for almost 10 years on and off. She wanted to get married. He didn't want to get married, so thank God that didn't happen. But even if that does happen, it doesn't limit God in any way. But when through fasting, through prayer, and as I'm seeking the Lord for a husband and crying out for a husband, then I start having visions and dreams of my husband and I being together, of us joking around and having fun. And I would wake up and say, God, what are you doing? I don't want to be with him. And he says, he's your husband, your only husband. You're not getting another husband. So at that point, I was mature enough in the Lord that I understood that I don't tell God no. We don't say no to God. We don't. That's disobedience. It's rebellion. There's consequences. And I feared the Lord. I did not want to go against God. I wanted to live a totally obedient, surrendered life, honoring him, seeking him. And that's where I was in my faith and in my, you know, place in the church. So as I contacted my husband about 6 months after that, just seeking the Lord and saying, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. And as I called my husband and told him what was going on, he started putting it on me like it was silence. And then he was like, do you know what hell you put me through? And again, I didn't realize that I was the wrong, that I was the prodigal. I didn't even know that terminology at that time. That was 20 years ago. But I was just silent. I knew to say nothing. So I just said, let's just seek the Lord and see what he has for us. He would come to the church to visit occasionally. So that's when we started kind of seeing each other a couple months later. God did supernaturally. Let me back up because I know many of you asked about this. He was with the other woman when God was putting him back in my heart and when I was having the dreams. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. He's with the other woman. And he said, well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't limit me. So my friend and I at work, I talked to her about a Christian friend, and we prayed. We basically prayed that God would remove that other woman from his life, that he would separate them, you know, whatever he had to do. Of course, with no harm to either one, you know, to protect them. We just started praying that woman would be removed from his life. And very shortly after, the Lord did it. And this is where we can't do it. We can't tell people what to do. We can't change people. We can't change their heart, their minds, nothing. So as we prayed, something happened. She did something that he didn't give her permission to do, and it made him very upset. And he basically just said, that's it, last straw, I'm done. So God knows what your spouse what your prodigal. He knows what they need to see, what they need to hear. He knows how to sever them from the other person, the other man, the other woman, how to harden their heart toward them. And that's where we have to let God do what only God can do. So he did that. Then God did that, you know, removing the woman. Then my husband and I started seeing each other. And in my mind, I'm thinking my husband was the prodigal, that he was the one in the wrong, that, you know, here I'm walking with the Lord, I'm serving in the church, I'm leading in the church, and that, you know, we start seeing each other, and I'm like, oh, well, we'll be married in 6 months. You know, 6 months we'll get married. And I start talking about marriage right away. And my husband was like, no, been there, done that. No, I have no desire to get married. And he knew who I was in the church. He knew my position, what I did. And I think that's why my journey was so long, from the time that we started dating again until we got engaged to be married was about 10 years, almost 10 years. Don't let that scare you. We both were very difficult cases. My husband with his hang-ups, his worldly ways, his decisions, my place in the church and not even realizing, and others have said this, well, my husband would say to me, well, you're so holy, and you think you're always right, and you're self-righteous, and you just need to go find a pastor, you need to go find a preacher, you need to go marry somebody, because I'm never going to be that person that you want me to be. I'm not going to change. I like myself, I like my life, and I'm not going to stop doing this and this and this and this because you don't like it, because I right away was trying to change him. I was trying to get him to stop doing the things I knew were wrong, the things I didn't like. So we both were like way out of order. I was in the church, but I didn't understand. And that's where, that was in the beginning of 2008. Well, 2012 is when I actually got connected to the ministry that many of you are connected to. And I started feeding on teachings and just learning and growing about marriage. I didn't understand about marriage. My husband didn't understand about marriage. We didn't have good examples growing up. So as I started learning and growing about marriage and then started doing it God's way, that's when I started seeing things change. That's where I learned to zip my lips. And the Lord would very clearly tell me, no, stop saying anything to your husband. Don't correct him. Don't criticize him. Don't try to teach him. Don't try to change him. You know, just stop trying to control and manage his life. You know, we are not to lord or manage over anyone's life. It's not God's way. So that's when I started saying, okay, Lord, I would pray and give everything to God. And that's what we call letting go and letting God. That's where he is Lord and we are not. He is God and we are not. His thoughts, his ways are so far above ours. And we don't have to understand it. We don't have to reason it, analyze it. We don't have to labor. We don't have to fight. We don't have to push or force what we want to take place. This is where we have to let God fight the battle, because the battle does belong to the Lord. And that's what I started doing. I, you know, many times during that, that's when I was standing. That was the point my stand started, because I wanted to be obedient to the Lord. So I would ask the Lord, release me, let me go. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I would rather just be single the rest of my life. And he very clearly said, no, it's not about you. And this is where many of you may feel like, well, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with their junk. I don't want to deal with their sins. I don't want to deal with their selfishness. I don't want to, you know, all they do is hurt, you know, me or the kids. But this is where we have to die to self. We die to self. We pick up our cross and we follow Jesus, and we say as he did in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. Not as I will, but as you will, Father God. Because it's not about us. It's about our marriage. It's about our covenant. It's about the vows. It's about obedience to the Lord, honoring the Lord. And that's where we want to live. That's where we want to dwell. That is what's going to bring the victory. That's what's going to honor God, glorify him. That's what's going to give him the open door to work and do what only he can do. So I'm trying to squeeze like 25 years in a few minutes here. So I hope that kind of answered your question, Chris, regarding
where I was, where, you know, I was a mess. I was an absolute mess, but thank God he didn't give up on me. Thank God he long-suffered with me, because I wouldn't be where I am and who I am today. And this is where I'm encouraging all of you. Don't give up on your spouse. Don't give up, because God is not going to give up. God's not looking at them, pointing the finger and judging them. God is looking at them through eyes of love. He is that Father that is waiting and looking for them to just move toward him, just to have an open heart, to understand and be awakened where they are and what they're doing, and know that God will not deny them or reject them, because that's where I was. I wanted nothing to do with God when I was in the far country, when I was dating the man. I wanted nothing to do with God. But that's where the devil tried to kill me with suicide, because I was so miserable. And that's where sin is only pleasurable for a season. It is not forever. It is a season. It is so short-lived. And then we try to keep making it work and making it work, but it doesn't. So when your spouses are irritable and angry and they're nasty toward you, understand they're not happy. They try to make it seem like everything's great on the other side and they have what they always wanted and this is my soulmate, the person I'm supposed to be with. It's not true. They're trying to convince you of that. They're trying to convince themselves of that. But it's not true. They're not happy. They're not complete. They're not whole. They're not at peace. They don't have the joy. They don't have what God promises through obedience, through an obedient walk with him. It's all a facade. It's imposters. It's impersonators. It's angels of light. It's just wolves in sheep's clothing. That's exactly how the enemy operates. He is a liar and the father of lies. He is a confuser. He is a deceiver. He's a destroyer. We know that's all he sets out to do. He doesn't want to make your spouse happy. He wants to destroy your spouse and destroy your marriage and destroy your family. And that's where we have to understand our enemy is not our spouse. Our enemy is not the other person. The enemy is Satan. We don't war against flesh and blood, the Bible says. We war against the principalities and powers of darkness that are in operation. And this is where we must identify what is going on. And I got a very good book recommended to me about 5 years ago. It's called Shadow Boxing by Dr. Henry Malone. And when I read that book, oh my, it opened my eyes to see myself and my control issues, to see my husband and his history, family history of addiction issues. I could see the bloodline. I could see the curses. I could see the spirits that were in operation. And we know the Bible tells us that we have all power and authority over all the power of the enemy, that we can bind, that we can loose. We bind those things that are not of God in the name of Jesus, and then we loose what Jesus has purchased with his body, with his blood, laying down his life and surrendering and obeying Father God to go to the cross. And we know that we can pull down the strongholds. So right now I'm talking about spiritual warfare. And as I started learning to do spiritual warfare and seeing my husband through the eyes of God, that, Lord, he didn't choose this. He didn't ask for this. This came down from his ancestors, great-grandfather, grandfather, his dad, him. I mean, it just, these repeated sins of the bloodline, you know, he had those issues. And I had the issues of my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, myself, control issues as women, how we like to, you know, we don't realize, but we're disrespecting our spouses when we're not honoring them and submitting to them. We understand that biblically what that means. It's not that we're servants or maids. And it just, when we submit under our husband, and they're to be submitted under God, and we're under their umbrella, we're submitted under them. And I know today that word submit is not such a fashionable word for a woman to submit to your husband. But it is true, it is God's way that we submit unto our husbands as unto the Lord. So that's what the Lord had to change me and start showing me, how to respect my husband, how to submit to my husband, how to honor my husband. And as I would just pray for those things that I knew were not in order, that were not good, not pleasing to the Lord, and then just leave them there.
So I would pray and let go. And that's what God said. Don't say anything to your husband. Just pray it to me and leave it there. It's my battle. It's my fight. Only, he says, not by might nor by power. It's only by my spirit. So he has to do that. And as I did that and then obeyed him to be that gentle, tender, loving, kind woman to my husband, to be fun-loving and lighthearted, which is unlike most of us women, we like to have lots of conversation and lots of talking and lots of counseling, and men don't like that. Men, even when my husband and I were getting back together, he never wanted to talk about anything, never. So we can't, this is where we give it all to the Lord, and we have those conversations with the Lord, and we draw everything we need from the Lord. And that was another point the Lord gave me over this journey, is don't put pressures and demands on your husband to make you happy. Don't put pressures on him to fulfill your needs, because it's not meant to be that way. It's out of order. We're supposed to be drawing everything we need from the Lord, you know, that he will fulfill us and satisfy us, and we can ask for anything and everything, and we should be, because he wants us to rely on him and depend on him and include him in everything, and just allow him to be our husband, allow him to be our first love, our first affection, our first priority. And the rest is up to him. That way we're free. We're filled up. We're satisfied. We're whole with the Lord. And this journey that you're on, I never had the relationship with God that I have now, or that I had as he was bringing me back into the church. So many of you do testify of that well, I wasn't really walking with the Lord, and I wasn't that close to the Lord, and I'm totally different now. I'm a strong Christian. I'm seeking the Word. I'm seeking the Lord. And that's where God uses what the enemy meant for evil. He turns and uses it for his good and for his glory. He makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. And that's where my prayer was, Lord, change me first. Change me first. I would always say, God, change me, shape me, mold me into the image of Christ. I would give God permission, chastise, rebuke, discipline, and correct me, because I'm your daughter and you're my father, and I need you to do that. I know there's things wrong with me, but God is so merciful and so gracious that he does it in his time and in his way, and he always does it in a gentle way. It's the enemy that puts pressures on us, and let's talk about that for a minute. That with the, you know, the timing, the clock, the calendar, you know, how long is this going to take? You know, I can't do this anymore. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and you can wait on the Lord and mount up with wings as eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. You can. This is where we must know the Word. We must seek the Word, study the Word, pray the Word. And as we pray the Word, we know God watches over his Word to perform it. It does not return to him void. You know, it will accomplish and prosper what he set out for it to do. So as you're seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, is this your will? Am I to stand for my marriage? Well, number one, if it's your covenant marriage, if your first husband, first wife, we know that's called a covenant. I won't go into all of that because we're not God. We can't judge one another. So what we always say is, you know, seek the Lord. If there's prior marriages or prior spouses, you know, that's between you and God, and that's where you need to say, you know, is there someone else standing for me or my husband with a prior marriage? But you really just have to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And if the Lord confirms to you, if the Lord by his Spirit says, yes, you are to do this. Yes, you are to stand. Yes, I'm going to restore. Yes, I'm going to reconcile. And this is a knowing that you'll have in your spirit. It's not that you hear the audible voice of God, but I knew that I knew that I knew that the Lord was calling me back to my covenant husband. And people didn't agree. Family didn't agree. People, you know, friends doubted. They didn't want to see me hurt. They didn't, you know, they wanted the best for me. What they think is the best for me. So as people would say, are you sure? And this and that, and he's not changed. He's the same person. I would just be like, no, I just want God's will. I want God's will. I want to be obedient to the Lord, and I want God's will to be done. This is where we cannot listen to our family, our friends. We can't listen to the opinions and the direction and instruction of people. We cannot. We must seek the Lord. We must be led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and give no place
to flesh, because Paul says in the flesh there's no good thing. And I came to the point where I had to tell my soul to be quiet, because that we know our emotions and our mind, that's where the enemy attacks us, and that's where we have to take those thoughts captive. Any thought that comes, any emotion that comes, we have to stop and say, okay, is this from the kingdom of light? Is this agreeing with God's heart, his word, his truth? Or is this coming from the kingdom of darkness that is contrary and in opposition to God's word and God's truth? So we have to stop and we have to ask and we have to discern. This is where we must resist the devil and he will flee, and we submit to God. So over time, I learn to wake up every morning and just say, Lord, I am surrendered to you, yielded to you. I am submitted to you. I am in agreement with you today. I'm in agreement with your will. I'm in agreement with your kingdom, with your word. So just show me today. Just help me walk out this day. And just doing all that we do as unto the Lord, that we want to, everything we say, do, think, feel, the Bible says, do all that you do as unto the Lord. And we want to reflect Christ. We want to reflect his kingdom. We want to reflect his glory. So letting go is saying, like I just said, yes, Lord. That's God's favorite word from his children that he wants to hear us say is yes, Lord. Not no, Lord. We know there are things that can hinder, and I know that was my issue. There were things that hindered my husband and I reconciling quicker or sooner because of doubt and unbelief, because of murmuring and complaining, and because of disobedience. So all of those things will get in the way, and they will delay what God wants to do, what God is going to do. And as Chris said, he is going to heal your marriages. He is going to bring your spouses home. He is going to bring the miracle, the breakthrough. He is going to transform them out of darkness into light, out of evil into good, out of lies into truth, out of bondage into freedom. That is what God does. God does that. So we say, yes, Lord. We zip our lips and we don't say anything to them. We pray it to God, and then we just, you know, be the person that they enjoy being around, that they would want to be around, that they would want to come home to, that they would want to be friends with. Because we know when we first meet ourselves, we're friends. You have to be friends. Husbands and wives have to be friends. So God wants to rebuild your foundation, rebuild your friendship. And this is where we have to forgive. When my husband and I started seeing each other again, we couldn't talk about all the sins of our past that when we were together or when we were apart. What we did while we were apart, what he did, what I did, we can't go there. We can't revisit that. There's no way to move forward and be healed and have victory and overcome when we're dwelling on the sins and the bad choices and all the hurtful things of the past. We have to let it go. We have to pray and let the past be the past. We just cannot go there. So as we forgive daily, as we repent of our own sin, we can't change our spouse, but we can change ourselves. And I've learned to live that daily life of repentance, you know, every morning. You know, God, I repent of every wrong, you know, this might seem extensive, but this is just me. You know, I repent of every wrong word, thought, action, deed, desire, every wrong attitude, behavior, choice, decision, activity. I repent. And I do that, and I ask God to forgive me and cleanse me and wash me with the blood of Jesus. And that way I know that whatever I did yesterday where I failed, we're all going to sin and fall short. And that's where we can't point our fingers at anyone or judge anyone. We can't. We all sin and fall short. We all have to take ownership with what was my part. And that was the hardest thing for me to do. And I guess because I had pride from that spirit of haughtiness that was on me from my bloodline, I had to learn, I had to be humbled, and I had to say, okay, Lord, where was I wrong? Where have I sinned? Where have I fallen short? And that's where we say, Lord, change me first. Put me on the potter's wheel. You are the potter, and I am the clay, and I need you to shape me and mold me into the woman, the wife, the mother, the person that I'm supposed to be. And just giving God that full access, holding nothing back from the Lord. Seeking that, just praying the word of God. We know as we pray the scriptures, as we make declarations and decrees and speak what God says, we don't want to, God was really impressing this upon me this past year. Don't say anything that is not going to be in agreement with my word. It's better to say nothing at all than to say something that's contrary to God, because then you're opening and giving access to the enemy. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil.
give no place. So we have to bridle our tongues, put a guard on our tongues, and we have to speak nothing that is going to be in opposition to God's word or God's heart. We only speak the word. We only proclaim and declare and decree. The Bible says, call those things that are not as though they were. So you speak over your spouse. You speak over your marriage. No matter what you see, we have to walk by faith and not by sight, and we speak over what we want it to be, what we know God wants it to be. Praise the Lord. So not giving up, being daily surrendered, and if you're doubting that God's called you to stand, if there's any point in your marriage, in your life, that you felt in your heart that, you know, this is, God wants my marriage healed, God wants my marriage restored, he wants my family restored. Okay, that's not from the enemy. The enemy doesn't tell you that. So God is not a man to lie, nor the son of man to change his mind. Okay, what he's told you, it is true. God, there's no evil, there's no darkness in God. He's only holy, only righteous. He is faithful. He is Almighty God. And this is where we have to understand that God is a God of order. Satan is the author of confusion. So if you have confusion, does God want this for me or do I want this for me? The enemy doesn't want you. It's not you that wants it. Yes, you want it because it's your spouse. You are one flesh. You are no longer two. You are one. You have that covenant, that vow. You are one. So, yes, you are longing for your spouse because that is your flesh. Okay, so it's not, does God want this or do I want this? This is where we have to know what God says about marriage, what God says about divorce, God's heart for restoration and reconciliation of our marriages and our families. So we got engaged Christmas before last. We got engaged. The Lord had me sell my house last year, end of last year. I moved up with my husband, and we are now the last mountain. God removed it so that there's no longer anything in the way of us getting remarried. So now we're free to start planning to have a little something small with just our immediate family. But mine was 10 years married, 15 years apart, mainly because of me, and now been back together 11 years and now ready to get remarried. So don't let those numbers scare you, but learn from my mistakes that you don't want to get in God's way. You don't want to delay God. You don't want to make your own plan and do your own thing. No. We have to let God fight the battle, and we have to be honoring him and obeying him at all times so that he has an open door in our hearts and in our prodigals' hearts as we pray for them. So he has open doors to move and to work and to bring his will to pass in our lives.
Wow.
Wow, thank you.
Amen. Can we just say, wow. Oh my gosh, you shared your heart tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
yes, you
so
did.
Much.
I'm
Thank
sorry
you.
If I was talking too fast. I was trying
no,
to get everything in.
You were no, it wasn't too fast. I know you were trying to get in a lot. So we thank God for how he has just flowed through you
Praise
tonight.
God.
We heard your voice, but I know it was the Spirit of God just
yes.
so much. Mm-hmm. I know people want to give. So do you have a few minutes at this point to take a few questions, maybe for about 10 minutes or so?
I'm fine for that. And then I would just like, okay. like to read a little something at the end about a life of obedience that the Lord gave me.
Okay.
But I'll definitely take any questions first.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll do questions for about 10 minutes, and then I'm going to stop so that we can give her an opportunity to read and to pray. Okay?
So I have a question. Your testimony really just answered so many questions for me, mainly because my husband was in ministry and still is in ministry. And that, it seems, and I'm going to kind of combine that with another little background thought, and that seems to be that I feel like people who receive God's miracles or these restorations quicker, it seems to be like they're usually newer in the Lord. And it seems like the people that may have a ministry background or they're in ministry, it's just a really tough battle. And I don't quite understand that. And I'm not sure if you have any insight on that. So that's one main big question that I have. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, so when the Lord started putting my husband back in my heart, I had been in the church for, let me see, 96, 97. I had been in the church for about 8 years, and because I was so hungry, the Lord really, you know, called me to prayer. I started leading prayer, and I started teaching different age groups, and I didn't think I was proud. I didn't think I was self-righteous. I didn't think that I was that way, but that's what the Lord ended up revealing in me through my journey restoring with my husband, was that I was high and mighty, and I was self-righteous. And I thought, oh, well, God and I are good. You know, I'm on the right path, and I'm doing the right things, and I'm serving the Lord and doing all these works for the Lord. So I think maybe it's a pride thing or a self-righteous. Like, there's not a humility. There's not a surrender to the Lord. I think there's something in that, because what the Lord was teaching me through the process, I as he showed me, I was a proud, selfish, independent person, and I never realized I was that way in my marriage. But he taught me to be a humble, submissive servant, and he taught that to me through business, through work, but it was really for my marriage. It was really, I was to be a humble, submissive wife, knowing how to be my husband's helpmeet, knowing how to be subservient, not in a negative way, but you understand, in God's way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We do hear that a lot, that ministers, you know, how can they think that this is okay for them to divorce their spouse and be with me, you know, they met somebody else in the church and somebody else in ministry, and they're like, well, this is the one I love, this is the one I'm supposed to be with. Listen, it's deception. We know all the bottom line is it's deception, because the enemy is a deceiver. Okay, he is a confuser and a deceiver, and he brings the temptations. He brings lust, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And this is where the Bible says, be vigilant. I was just reading that scripture today. You know, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil is like a roaring lion. He roams about seeking who he may devour. And this is where, you know, when we're not getting our needs met at home, when we don't feel loved, we don't feel accepted. I know my love language wasn't being met, and we just had so many issues. And when somebody started paying attention to me, and somebody started giving me respect and acceptance and enjoying my company, wanting to have conversation with me, those things I didn't get from my husband, that's when I was drawn to that person. So we can't change our spouse, but we can say, Lord, help me to be the spouse that my husband needs me to be. You know, help me to be, to meet their love language and meet their needs. But just clothing them with humility, clothing your spouse with humility, and just asking God to open their eyes, take the scales off so they can see everything, and fear of the Lord, you know, to have a fear. That was my, John Bevere, I don't know if you know, way back when I first came back into the church, we had John Bevere at our church, and he wrote the book called Fear of the Lord. And that really hit me hard, that I never want to obey God. I want to fear God. I want to reverence and honor the Lord, because I don't want to be back in that place where maybe this time I wouldn't get saved from suicide. Maybe I would actually kill myself. I never wanted to be back in that place. That's why my heart's cry from the beginning when I came back into the church was, God, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I don't want to hear man. I need to hear your voice. I hope that helps some.
No, that did. Thank you.
Yeah, and could you speak to the other part of her question, too? Because the other part was, do you think that people in leadership, is it a harder walk or a harder stand for someone who is in some kind of ministry or leadership?
Are we looking at the standards point or the prodigal's point?
For me, that's prodigal's point. Well,
for me,
kind
for
of both, but
point.
Prodigal's point. So both.
Yeah.
Okay. So the prodigal's point was what I was just talking about. You know, as a prodigal, they're deceived by the enemy. Their heart is not right. They're not fearing the Lord. They're not humble. They're proud. So that's where we pray for their heart. We pray against pride. We pray the fear of the Lord. We pray for them to be awakened out of that slumber. You know, they really do need a great spiritual awakening to come upon them. It doesn't matter if they're in leadership. It doesn't matter if they're in the church, you know, leading in doing whatever they're doing, whatever their position is. Sin is sin. Sin is sin, and they are blinded to that sin, and they are deceived by the enemy that, well, God wants me happy. That is the biggest deception of the enemy. God wants me happy. No, God doesn't want you happy. God wants you holy. Mm-hmm. Happy will get you to the wrong place. Mm-hmm. It will take you into utter darkness. It's not about happiness. It's mm-hmm. about holiness. It's about obedience to the Lord. And that's where people say, well, I just want my spouse to be happy. If they're happy with the other person, then no. Your spouse is with the other person committing adultery, and they're in rebellion, and you don't want them to stand before the Lord one day and to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. So no, God is not concerned about their happiness. God does not want them to perish in darkness. He wants to rescue them. He wants to awaken them. He wants to snatch them out of the kingdom of darkness, out of captivity and enslavement by the enemy. And he wants to bring them, wake them up, and bring them back into his marvelous light. Back into that's not their purpose and destiny over there, having an adulterous affair or marrying another person. He wants them back walking in their purpose and destiny that he put in them as he form them in the womb of their mother. That's what God wants for them. It's not about happiness in this world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to you for like 2 weeks now, like on repeat. Like I was fed up. I'm like, I'm the only one going through this, blah, 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 blah. And then I just happened to hear you. It's like, I've been listening to these recordings like forever and ever. And then it just happened. I was like, I never heard this one before. Like, where has this been? Like, where is this from? And then it kind of went out of sequence. So I was like scrambling trying to find number 18. So then when I heard last week, because this was like my third time on here now, I was like super excited. I was like, yes, that's her. That's her. So for me, it was more like, I feel like the enemy always makes me feel like, you know what, like you're the only one feel like this, like, oh, yeah, he's doing you like this. He doesn't care. He doesn't show you, you know, that he respects you. And what you said tonight kind of like just opened my eyes, like, okay, so it's not just me. Like, I'm not the only one. This is how the enemy makes them act. Because sometimes I know it's mm-hmm. not him, then as far as our emotions and our feelings, because we are human, you do have feelings, and sometimes it just hurts you just to know that, man, like, they're doing this, or they're ignoring me, or whatever the case may be. And it could be just something simple as, you know, a Mother's Day hello, or, you know, or mm-hmm. or just a normal, you know, response that you may have asked them about a question or something, and they don't respond back. And
we can't take personal what they say and what they do. You can't take it personal. You can't take it to heart. That's where you do have to guard your heart, you know, and you have to put on the armor of God and the hedge of protection, wall of fire, blood of Jesus, you know, angel armies. We do have to do those things every day over us and our family. But God taught me early on, don't take what he says or does personal, because sin is sin and blind people can't see. So they do not realize what they're doing. And there were many, many hurtful things that my husband and I were trying to reconcile. I felt like I was the last place in his life. I felt like the friends came first, the elderly ill mom came first, the dog came first. Like, everything was before me, and I was just like, Lord, who am I? Like, what am I? Why am I here? I mean, he doesn't want to be with me. I'm not his priority. He's not. And the Lord just said, again, Deanne, you draw what you need from me. You look to me because I'm your husband. Your husband is not capable of giving you what you desire, what you need at this time. You have to draw it from me.
Yeah.
I have a question. Do you have any advice or suggestion for those who have been in a decade-long marriage and now the wayward spouse has married the other person? And they live in another state. There's no contact. What do you suggest, if anything?
Okay. Well, we know that does not limit God in any way, shape, or form. Okay, the no communication or them, you know, marrying another person, that doesn't matter. You know, you know in your heart you have a marriage, you have a covenant, and you know what God's called you to do. And that's where you can, as I talked before about binding and loosing, you know, I just like I prayed for God to remove that woman from my husband's life. It doesn't matter if the spouse has married someone else. We still can pray because God, again, God is concerned about their eternal destiny. God is concerned about their eternal status, their eternal state. So it's really God wanting them to come to their senses and come back to where they belong. So you still can pray. There's no time or distance with the Lord. You can pray for God to, you know, cut the soul tie, the bond, the connection, the relationship with the other non-covenant spouse. You can pray that he'll harden their hearts toward each other. You can pray that he will, you know, save that other person and remove them, send them. God didn't create that other person, that other woman or man. He didn't create them to marry someone else's spouse. That is not the call and purpose on their life. So God loves that other person that is sending it, like your spouses. He loves them just as much as anybody. And he wants them to walk in freedom in their purpose and destiny, be who he called them to be, whether they have a previous spouse or whether they have whatever spouse God's called them to. You know, so that person has a purpose and destiny. And we need to pray that they will be released from your spouse. Back to or on forward to where they're supposed to be. So it's really just coming into agreement with God, coming into agreement with his heart. Amen. This is where we must be seeking and saying, Lord, speak to me. I want to know your heart. That was another, Cece Winans had a song saying, a heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm longing for. Full of compassion, nothing wrong within. God, give me a heart like yours. And that was for years, even before my husband and I were reconciling. I just wanted God's heart. And when we know God's heart toward the other person, toward your spouse, we will be fervent in prayer. You know, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You may think like my prayers are falling, they're not going anywhere, my prayers are dead. No, your prayers are alive and powerful when we're praying. The Bible says that if we pray anything, in agreement with God's will, if we pray according to his will, we can have the confidence that he hears us and that he will answer. He will bring it to pass. So this is where we just have to draw close and be intimate with the Lord. And we can pray for those open doors of communication, interaction, visitation, that whatever he uses to do it, that he'll just open the door and just make a way where there seems to be no way for that door to open.
God says to take care of the widows, and that's what she was.
The other person?
Yes.
Okay. No, but God doesn't want a married man to abandon his wife and reject his wife and betray his wife to go take care of a widow. No, that's not biblical.
No.
That's a perversion. That's a twisted perversion of Satan.
Amen.
To say that he should go and minister to this widow. No, that's not biblical. We have to know the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God.
When the problem actually... When the prodigal actually returns home and they come to that point where they're repentive and you guys are fine and they ask you, how were things when I was gone? Is it not smart to bring up that you were hurting and that you were really going through things while they were gone, because that'll make them feel guilt and hurt? Or should we just keep that with God?
That's where you have to use discernment. You do have to guard your tongue and put a bridle on your tongue and don't just say something flippantly. You have to pray about everything before you say anything, okay? Because you want to make sure that you're being walking with the Lord in unity, in obedience, in submission, because we don't want to give any place to the enemy to use your words, what you're sharing, what you're speaking to push your husband away or to bring or to increase that guilt, shame, condemnation, okay? So you really have to be sensitive to that. The Lord will put the right words in your mouth. You know, when you say, well, I don't want to talk about it right now, or, you know, just kind of excuse yourself somehow, some way, and then you first need to pray about it, and you need to get the Lord involved And then just say, Lord, you know, if and when this comes up again, please give me wisdom, you know, what I should say, not say. You know, you can be vague about things like, well, I really had to, you know, I really had to look to the Lord, rely on the Lord, you know, for him to heal me, for him to comfort me. Because we don't want the enemy to use those things to separate your husband from you or to separate your husband from the Lord.
I had a question. If my husband remarried, wouldn't he, I mean, he could come back to me, but wouldn't he owe it to me or to the other person as well because he made a covenant with them? Like I've seen that in the Old Testament or when they take multiple wives, would they not still, you know, have to remain with that covenant as well?
No.
Same
no.
question.
There's only one covenant. What I've learned and what we teach in the ministry I'm connected to is, you know, covenant is first husband, first wife. Mm-hmm. If you break that covenant, you can't go and make another first covenant with another spouse, another person. There's no second covenant. So we call that a non-covenant. If your spouse enters into another marriage, that's a non-covenant. Okay, and we know what the Bible says. The Bible says if you divorce that you're not to remarry, that you're to remain single. So this is where we have to know, the you know, especially the New Testament. We're not talking about multiple wives and concubines and all that stuff. But no, this is where I pray that the Lord will release the spouse that is with another person or even married another person, that he will release them from that false sense of obligation, dedication, loyalty, commitment, and responsibility to that other person. That is false. It's perverted. It's twisted. It's not biblical. Their obligation, dedication, loyalty, commitment, their covenant is with you, their spouse, their first spouse. How can you become one flesh? The Bible says you're no longer two, you're one flesh.
Amen.
How can you leave that person and then go and become one flesh with another person? You can't.
Amen.
You can only be one flesh when you marry in that covenant for the first time. You're one. You're one. So even when my husband and I were divorced and apart all those years, I would still think about him. And I would still, not that I wanted to be with him, but it was just, I can't even explain it, but he was still in my heart, not in the right way, but like as a brotherly love. And I would still think about him. I would actually pray. This was my ignorance. I would actually pray for God to send my husband a good wife. I would say, Lord, I knew him and the other woman didn't get along good, even though they were together on and off 10 years. I knew they didn't get along, and I knew they weren't good together. I would say, God, give my husband a good wife, someone's going to respect him and love him that he can be happy with. That's what I used to pray for my husband, crazy me. And little did I know when God put it in my heart, no, he's your husband. You're the wife. He's the husband. You're not getting anybody else. So when I was praying that for him, I didn't know I was praying for me to be put back into his life. But God knew.
Do any of the men have any questions?
Can I make a comment? This is Susan. Hello?
Go ahead, Susan.
Yes.
Actually, I think you prayed with me yesterday. Did you? I think you called me from Rejoice Marriage Ministries.
Yes.
And prayed with me yesterday afternoon. And my husband called me last night. It was the first time in 6 months that he called me.
Woo!
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you. There's power in agreement. There's power in faith in agreement.
I do have a quick question.
Oh, yes.
That hopefully somebody might. I can relate to you in that you said that you had a lot of setbacks from disobedience.
Yes.
And so I feel that way, not necessarily with him, but in another big area of my life. And I'm just wondering, I guess, how did that really work with God? Like, did he have to kind of take you back to where you should have been and then you made the right choice? Or did he just kind of work from where you ended up from your disobedient choice and then have to make, like, a new path?
Okay, I don't think God
I hope that makes
anything.
Sense.
I don't think he does it the same thing all the time with everybody. What I do know is that when we sincerely repent, we know the Bible says that he blots out our sin for his own sake and he remembers it no more. You know, that God is a God of restoration. He's a God of long-suffering. He's a God of mercy. We are the ones that beat ourselves up and get in our own way and get in God's way. And we know it's the devil who brings condemnation. He is the one that condemns us and keeps reminding us of that disobedience and that, you know, the sins. But the Lord doesn't. The Lord doesn't remind us. If he doesn't remember it anymore, how can he be putting us in remembrance? So we know the Bible says that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we have to, again, we repent. God forgives, washes it away with the blood of Jesus, blots it out. He remembers it no more. So we need to not feel bad about ourselves. We need to see ourselves as to who we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, above all power and principality. We have to know what God says about us. And that was my biggest thing when I came out of that adultery and I came out of the suicide and God brought me into the church. I just felt like a filthy, dirty rag. Like God will never love me. I'll never, I was beating myself up constantly. And this
can
is
I,
where the Lord
can I clarify it?
Yes.
So I mean more like, so I disobeyed and I didn't realize how big that consequence would be. And I feel now like I've opened myself up to just like, I mean, I was like in like the land of blessing and I walked out of it into basically like curses. That's how it feels. I feel like everything around me for this past year has just crumbled or not gone right. And that's kind of the vein I'm talking about.
Okay. There are consequences for sin if it's depending on what it is and if it's something that has an effect in this world. But still repentance, you know, confession and repentance, and then shutting the doors, asking the Lord to help you break any curses, break any access that the devil has to your life by what you did. And just shutting those doors and sealing them shut with the blood of Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, binding the enemy, kicking him out of your life. You know, we have the power to do that, bind him and whatever's going on, whatever's happening bad. Kurt, you just say, no, I bind that in the name of Jesus. It's not of God, and it's the devil's trespassing into my life. He is defeated, and he has to go. The Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And two, pleading the blood of Jesus. I really firmly believe in washing and applying and pleading the blood of Jesus. And I've done that when I know that I've spoken something wrong, did something wrong, planted bad seeds. You know, I'll just say, Lord, I wash that and I plead the blood of Jesus over that so it will not continue to produce fruit. It won't continue to, bear the bad fruit and bring these bad things in my life. Just snuff it out with the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus already took care of it. So there's many things you can do to come against those things and just trust the Lord to restore you and expedite, you know, just expedite and lift you back up to where he needs you to be and where you desire to be.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you address attacking everyone right now? You know, really bad. So, you know, it's not just you. Everybody, I think, is getting attacked. So that's just another element, I think, because of the times we're in. And so it could just be that as well.
Oh, the enemy is always at work, and that's what we have to do.
Yeah. Right.
I have a question. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I have been divorced now almost close to 5 years since 2014. I went through 2015, let me say. Separated for a good 5 years at this point. And his mom, she's a minister, and she told me that if he does not want to be with me, that even God's hands are tied. That's what she told me. So so from there,
I don't believe that, but go ahead.
I've been praying for at this point, from the time that everything started till now, and I have
I've seen breakthrough a little bit back and forth, but nothing concrete. And I'm to the point where I'm just done. I'm tired of praying. I can't do it anymore. And I do feel bad, but I'm like, well, I don't even know what to do. I don't have any more energy to do it. And I spoke to him. I believe that God pressed it on me to call, and I did call him today. After, I don't know, we haven't spoken in about 2 or 3 years, so I called him. I asked God to give me a sign that it's him, and I believe it was him. My question is, I don't want to come off as being obsessed with the prayer because I have been doing it. So, and I feel like maybe at this point God is probably tired of hearing from me because from the day that it has started till now, I haven't really seen any. If it's been a breakthrough, it's been false. Almost, yeah, false. Nothing that I can hold on to. And so what she said to me, I do kind of hold on to it a little bit because it's like, well, God is not going to force him to come back. She's telling me if he has made his decision, free will, it's his free will. If he doesn't want to be with you, that's what it is. And she kind of put that over my head and just dismissed me. So I guess my question behind it is, is it like idol worshiping because I'm praying for it, or will God look at me as I'm being obsessed about it because I don't have any more energy to pray for it anymore? I just don't. At this point, I have been exhausted of praying. And, yeah, that's what my question is.
Okay. All right. So the enemy would lead us to be stressed and pressured in work and labor. Okay, that's not God's way. And that's what I used to do too. And I ended up almost having a nervous breakdown. I was always worried, always anxious, and you know, just praying. And I finally got some counsel and whatever, and the Lord spoke to me and just guided, you know, led me into rest. And this is where I'm going to read this scripture to you, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, and we need to say yes, Lord, and accept this invitation. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? So this is not your fight, sister. This is God's fight. And yes, man does have a free will, but God does not give up because man has a free will. God is always moving and wooing and working and long-suffering and speaking to our prodigals if we will just join our faith and come into agreement with God daily. We don't have to fight. We just need to pray for their souls to be rescued, pray for them to be surrendered and submitted to the Lord, okay? When we pray that they'll be free and return to the Lord and be all that God's called them to be, it's inevitable that your marriage is going to be restored. Because when their heart is right and they're listening to God, God is going to speak to them and he's going to say, return to your spouse, return to your beloved, return to your one flesh. Okay? So don't fight the battle. Enter into God's rest. Even Hebrews 5 talks about entering into the rest of God. And if we don't, There's actually a correction there from God. It says if we don't enter into that rest, it says fear God. Because that means we're working and we're trying to do it on our own way and our own self and we're laboring. But we're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be trusting God, entering into his rest, and letting and just being in agreement with his heart and with his word. And he does the rest. You don't have to dwell on it, make it an idol. You can be very simple and quick every day that you lift your husband before the Lord and pray God's heart for him. His heart is for him to be free and rescued and return to your marriage and return to the Lord wholeheartedly.
Okay. Did you say we should say things, like call them as they are? Is that what you said? Like we should be saying, calling things as though they are? So they
there,
are.
There is a scripture. Okay, there is. I don't know the scripture passage. That is.
I know Romans 17 says God calls things as though they are, but I don't know. Are we supposed to be doing that as well, or have that power?
Abraham did that. I mean, I think it's in Corinthians that it talks about Abraham who, having faith, you know, he would call those things that they were not as though they were. Even though he didn't see it, he would still call it. He would still speak it because that's what faith does. And we know without faith, it's impossible to please God. So as we're speaking by faith, calling those things that we know God wants to happen and that we want to happen in agreement with the Lord, we can speak those things forth. You can call yourself free. You can call them, you know, like a man after God's own heart, you know, like King David. My husband's a man after God's own heart that wills to do all of his will, that, you know, loves the Lord and worships the Lord, that the pleasures of this, you know, you can just speak the truth and just prophesy. Basically, our words have power. Our words have blessing or cursing. So when we speak blessing and we speak, you know, declarations and decrees that line up with God's heart and God's word, there's power in that. You're speaking life. You're speaking blessing. You're speaking faith so that God, there's something there for God to move and work with.
Yeah. I have a question as far as, like, finding someone to touch and agree with you. I had a spiritual father. He's now gone to be with the Lord. But I've been, like, tussling to find someone to, like, touch and agree with me on, you know, in prayer. I find myself always by myself praying. I've actually talked to people before, but like the lady before was saying about free will, I've actually had to battle, like, with that, like, oh, God, you're free. And I'm, like, now reading scripture and quoting things. I'm like, well, why did he put Jonah in the whale then, if that was the case, if free will was something, you know? And I'm just like, I'm just exhausted with, you know, trying to find someone. I just want God to, you know, put someone in my life that has God's heart and focuses on God's word and not their own opinion. And that's what I've been looking for as far as a prayer partner. Because, like I said, right now it's just solo. Now, I'm normally solo. I'm just like, okay, God is the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, because that's all I got right now. And that's how I've been praying lately, you know, by myself.
Well, you can definitely pray that God will bring you a sister in the Lord and a prayer partner. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And he will. He will, if it's his will, and, you know, if he wants that to happen. But I believe there's many times that there was, most of the time I was on my own solo too, but we're not really solo, because when we're praying in agreement with Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we're always praying in agreement with the Trinity. We're always praying in agreement. We're never alone. And that's why it's important for you to feed your spirit, the truths, the teachings, you know, listening and reading and watching everything possible concerning marriage God's way. You know, whether it's Rejoice Marriage Ministries or whether it's, there's, you know, a lot of different marriage ministries out there, you know, just feed your spirit and just keep reinforcing the word of God in you, the word of God in you, the word of God in you. And you're just, again, you're just, don't labor, but you're just agreeing with God's word. You're agreeing with his truth. You're agreeing with his heart. And that power of agreement is between the Trinity and the word and you. That's agreement. So okay. Never feel like you're alone. You're not alone.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay. Okay, this is going to be the last question, okay?
Okay. I was wondering, how did your husband deal with your family when you got back together? Like, was it easy for him to forgive them for being so welcoming of the new guy?
No, there was a lot of hurt there, and he used to bring that up a lot. Like, well, it's kind of hard for me to forgive, you know, your this, your that, your mom, your sister, you know, because they what they did, you know. He said that really, and he would say it on occasion, like, that really hurt me. That really hurt me. And I didn't dwell on it. I would just say, look, you know, when we don't know the, you know, the Bible says we perish for lack of knowledge. When we don't know the truth and we don't have the knowledge, we're deceived by the enemy. So it's you can't really. That's just something that kind of has to happen naturally. You know that God did that over time, is just to heal and mend my husband's relationship. I mean, they didn't, when my husband started coming around again, they accepted him and they loved him, and, you know, nobody had any bad attitudes or any, you know, ill feelings toward him. But he still remembered.
forgiven them.
Yeah, he remembered what they did, exactly. So it took time for him to forgive and for him to be healed. And I used to pray for my husband's heart, that God would heal his heart from everything that I did and my family did to him, you know, when we went through all of that. So just pray for healing over your spouse's heart, and just let God do what only God can do, is to just knit and bond and bring a unity and a healing to those relationships. It's time. It takes time.
Okay.
All right. Maybe if we're really, really nice and we let Deanne go now, she'll come back in a few weeks and answer some more questions for us. So, Deanne, why don't you go ahead and read the reading that you have, and then close us out in prayer. And we do it once again. We so appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we want to just ask God to pour his Holy Spirit into you and replenish you, because I know it can be exhausting when you bring forth a word like that. So we ask God to just pour his Spirit into you, refresh you, and we, you know, ask him to bless your family as well and your husband. And we thank
Amen.
You so much for sharing your testimony and your heart with us tonight. So if you will go ahead and give us the reading and close us out in prayer.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Okay, this is something the Lord put in my heart. I always write down what he puts in my heart. A life of obedience to my word honors me. It reflects my kingdom, my glory, and my son. It is a powerful witness, light, salt, and is an ambassador for Jesus, Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It gives no place to darkness, its God, its armies, or its works that only intend to steal, kill, and destroy. A life of obedience is humble, gentle, submitted, and surrendered, not living for self, but picking up the cross and letting Jesus be the Lord at all times. Obedience brings blessings, favor, peace, joy, and total freedom. Freedom from the weight of the sins of others and this world. You were never created to carry the burdens, but only to take them to Jesus and leave them at his feet. He already carried the weight, burden, and drank of the cup. He did it all, so you never need to. He is seated at my right hand as the intercessor and mediator for all mankind. A life of obedience joins with Jesus in agreement that he finished it, paid it, purchased it once and for all. He is calling you to cease from your labors, release all heaviness and weariness, and enter into his rest. Take his yoke upon you that is easy and light. Do what he would do and obey his commands. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another as I have loved you. Go about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus went about teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness, disease among the people. Why are you caught up in the cares of this world? Be kingdom-minded. Be ready, willing, and obedient daily to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Walk in agreement, oneness, unity, and one accord with me, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and all my sons and daughters. This is a life of obedience, and my goodness will chase you down and overtake you. You shall eat the good of the land. You and your descendants will be blessed to 1,000 generations. Silence your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions. Buffet and burn your flesh, in which there is no good thing, and put it under submission to the king. He broke every curse off you, so freedom is yours. Freedom to honor and obey me. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless you. We bless you that you are holy, you are righteous, you are good all the time, Father. You are faithful. You know everything, past, present, future, as you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, end, the first, and the last. You are everything, Lord. We trust that you are sovereignly ruling and reigning from your throne over all of your creation. So, Lord,
every situation of every precious person that's on this call now or that will listen in the future. Lord, you know every care, every concern. You know every need, desire, every worry, every hurt, every wound, every scar. Father, you know all of it. And we know that you have made provision. You have given your best. You have given Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the beloved Son of God, you have given him as the final sacrifice that by his stripes we are healed, that he is our victory, he is our peace, he is our joy, he is our freedom, he is our redemption, our Redeemer, our Savior, he is our Prince of Peace, our Bright and Morning Star, our Lily of the Valley. Father, I pray that you would capture and captivate and heal all of the hearts of all of these precious standards, Lord God, that they would cease from their labors, that they would let go, Father God, truly let go, teach each and every one. I learned the hard way over so long period of time, a long years. Father, help them get it quicker. Help them be quicker learners than I was. Help them get it, Father God, that they do not need to fight the battle. They just need to rise up every morning and believe, take you at your word and your promises to them that are yes and amen, and just agree with you. I agree to say, I agree with you, that they would just say, Lord, have your way. I know your heart is to rescue, to save, to do everything that you speak of. Lord, just help them just rest in you. Give them grace, Father God, fresh new grace every single day, Lord God, that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, that they are more than conquerors, that they have the mind of Christ, which is of faith, that it's not about us striving, and the enemy would put us under pressures and demands and stresses. And Lord, you don't operate that way. You are gentle, tender, loving God, and you don't pressure us. You want us to just come to you and sit at your feet and just let you wrap your arms around us and just speak to us. So just give each and every one under this call right now, Lord, just a hunger and a thirst for more of you, more of your presence, more of your love, more of your glory, more of you, God, more of your word, your kingdom, Lord. We must be kingdom-minded and not earthly-minded. These things are withering and fading away, but what lasts and remains forever is your word and is your kingdom, Father. So I ask you, Father, to just lavish your love upon every precious stander, and I pray that you would encourage them, that you would refresh them, revive them, rejuvenate them, Lord, that you would reestablish them in your call for them to stand, for you to heal their marriages and their families, Father God, that they would not grow weary in well-doing, because you said if we faint not, that we shall reap what we shall reap what we have planted, Lord, we shall reap the harvest. So thank you, Father. Bless each and every one. I pray you redeem the time as they have committed on this call and participated in this call. I pray that you would just give them sweet sleep. We say be quiet to our souls, Father, that our souls would not get in the way, that we would just sweetly sleep with you and dream with you tonight, Father. And we thank you for visions and dreams, Lord, as you gave me visions and dreams about my husband. I pray you would do that for all the prodigals out there, all of the prodigals there, Father, that are in the far country and in rebellion and sin. Give them visions. Give them dreams, Father God. We loose a great spiritual awakening upon them, Father, that the fire of the Holy Ghost would stir up the word of God and would just arrest them, Father. We command their spirits to come alive with the resurrection life and power of Jesus Christ, that they can no longer be stagnated. They can no longer be held captive. They can no longer be dead in their spirits, Father. They must come alive in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you would draw them unto yourself, that you would speak to them very clearly, give them boldness and courage to know that you will do above and beyond what they could think, ask, or imagine. If they would just trust you to flee the sin, flee where they are, and run back home. Just run home, return home to where they belong with these precious, precious standards, these husbands and wives that are believing daily, that are praying and asking daily, Father. You said if they continue to delight themselves in you, that you will give them the desires of their heart. So we believe that, Father. We agree today, this evening, Lord. We believe, we agree, and we say, yes, Lord, have your way. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done in all of our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
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 Be blessed. Good night, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you,
good night. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.